Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Guys, Patreon. Patreon.com/MatthewDonald. Bonus content for both my shows, The Ritwit and Paleo Bites. This month we're talking about King Kong. Link is in the description. Thank you for your support. Have a good day. Efficiency. Isn't it great? Oh, it's King Kong 2005. The Peter Jackson one. Damn it, so much for efficiency.
Roar. Growl. Snarl. Bellow.
Welcome to Paleo Bites, the podcast where God creates dinosaurs. God destroys dinosaurs. God creates man. Man destroys God. And man creates a podcast about dinosaurs.
And then the podcast eats man and...
woman inherits the earth, right?
Yes.
And, or dinosaurs eat the podcasters and then radio comes back. Ugh.
There, now you're talking.
Now radio's fine. All right. Okay. All right, my name is Matthew Donald, and each week I and a rotating series of guest co-hosts talk about and rate a genus of prehistoric animal, be it dinosaur, mammal, arthropod, and so on. This week I'm joined by dinosaur aficionado, dinosaur connoisseur.
I like that one.
dinosaur propaganda mouthpiece? No. Stephen Curro, how are you?
I'm doing good, thank you.
I stumbled there at the end, but I'm good. But
well, there is that scene in Godzilla versus King Ghidorah, actually.
Oh, okay.
Back in the 90s, where this guy. So, I don't know if you've seen that movie.
Nope.
So in that movie, this guy in World War II, he was fighting for the Japanese.
Yes.
And the Americans are bombarding an island. But then Godzilla, before he got mutated, rescued them.
Ooh.
And so he became like a fanatic for dinosaurs. So fast forward to the 90s, he's walking around a museum with like a little mini microphone going, "The dinosaurs will save us all!"
That's going to be you in 50 years.
My friends were like, "That's going to be me." I'm like, "Yeah, maybe."
Wait, so before Godzilla was mutated, wasn't he just like a normal lizard?
He was a Godzillasaurus in that timeline, that continuity.
Okay, and so how big is normally a Godzillasaurus?
Like, he was still pretty big. He was, I would say he was...
like T-Rex sized
or
bigger?
He was like a T-Rex and a half.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. And then he got mutated from the nuclear bomb and became even bigger. But
yeah. I like the Matthew Broderick one. No, I don't. But where he's just a normal lizard. Look, it's all right, but the CGI does not hold up at all anymore.
It's a little dated.
Like... And, like, when there's the baby ones, it's such a ripoff of Jurassic Park.
I think Roland Emmerich later stated how it its similarities to Jurassic Park is what is partly sank the movie.
Yeah. Well, and plus, eventually there's just too many of them. Like, there's that scene where they're in the hall, and there's, like, 100 of them.
Right.
And, like Jurassic Park works in because there's only a few. Like, and it's still scary. They didn't need like 100 of raptors.
Well, so. I think they were trying to go off of the idea that there are hundreds of these babies, and if even one of them gets out, we're screwed.
Yeah, but I don't know. It's just, it was weird to see them all crowded there. And like,
they were trying to build tension, darn it. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess. Normally, I like Roland Emmerich. Like, I'm not one of those people that just hates everything he does like some other people do, but I didn't really care for that one.
Both my parents are from New York, so we kind of love that one.
Okay.
That's true. Well, you know, Roland Emmerich likes destroying New York, like he did it in
Independence Day, he did it in Day After Tomorrow,
he did it in Godzilla. He avoided it on purpose in 2012 because he said, I've destroyed it too much.
Fair enough, but does he have something against New York?
I don't know. It's just got a lot of recognizable buildings to destroy.
I guess, you know.
Well, the thing about the Day After Tomorrow is that it actually doesn't really destroy any of them. It just freezes them.
Destroys the city, just not in an explosive way.
Yeah. Somehow, like...
It's still very apocalyptic.
Somehow, the Statue of Liberty survives that tidal wave.
That's true.
So, yeah. Yeah.
I don't like the cold. Anyway.
Oh, what about the super cold in that movie?
That's even worse.
Where it's like excess of negative 150 degrees.
That is my hell.
It's so cold that if you're out there for like a couple seconds, you automatically freeze.
Yeah, no, thank you. I mean, it'd be quick, but still, no, thank you.
It'd be really painful for a few seconds, though. Like, because cold, yeah, stuff like that. Ugh.
Well, that took a dark turn.
Recycle, guys. We don't have to go through a Day After Tomorrow situation.
Yes. Climate change is a thing. No.
And in actuality, I've heard people say that in terms of that movie, the actual concept of the movie itself isn't that far-fetched. The timeline is far-fetched. Like, it happening that soon is not realistic. But the idea that global warming would disrupt the currents and create an ice age is a scenario that could happen.
Potentially, yes.
In a couple hundred years.
Right, or possibly longer. They were saying, like I heard, so in the movie, they're freaking out because the ocean is suddenly dropping 15 degrees.
Yeah.
I heard that even if it suddenly dropped 1 degree, like globally,
yeah,
that would be a reason to panic.
That's true. 15, that's overkill.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, it's, I don't know. It's just, once again, science fiction exaggerating for the sake of...
Right.
Being fun.
Yeah. It's like I remember all the people accusing Roland Emmerich of saying like, oh, why are you making this 2012 movie if you think 2012 is gonna, do you think 2012 is gonna happen? I'm like, of course he does. If he thought 2012 was gonna happen, he wouldn't make a movie about it. He'd prepare for it.
Exactly.
Like, he just knows it makes a good movie scenario. Like, yeah, that movie came out 3 years before 2012. If he thought it was something like that was going to happen, the last thing he'd do was make a movie about it.
Yes, he knew that 2012 was going to happen, so he decided to warn the world by making a blockbuster movie that...
that people wouldn't take seriously.
Exactly, yes. This is a brilliant plan.
And to be fair, 2012 did happen, and then 2013, then 2014, then 2015, they all happened.
Yes.
But nothing happened in those years that ended the world. But the years themselves happened.
It's like the I saw a comic where the Mayans are making their calendar, and one of them's like, "Uh-oh, I ran out of room on the calendar," and the other guy goes, "Ha, that'll freak out somebody one day."
And it did, and then we promptly forgot about it.
Exactly,
it's over.
It was like the world's biggest no-show. Nothing happened. Absolutely nothing.
Okay, well, I would say what happened the year before that was even worse, but we tangented enough. No dinosaur-related question.
That was a crazy tangent, my goodness.
We're talking about something that has nothing to do with anything that we have talked about.
I blame Roland Emmerich.
Yeah, Roland Emmerich's all right, though. He did 10,000 BC, a movie that I will defend to my grave.
Oh, I love that movie, too.
Yeah, like...
But anyhow...
Anyways, we'll talk about Gargoylosaurus, though, is what we're talking about next. It means gargoyle lizard, obviously. Type, it is a nautosaurid ankylosaur. Size 9.5 to 13 feet, so that's 3 to 4 meters long, 0.5 to 1.1 tons. I love how stocky ankylosaurs are. It's like, look at that, 13 feet? That's not very big. 1 ton, though.
Very heavy.
Yeah, very dense.
What he lacks in size and speed, he makes up for in girth.
Yes. He's a big fat boy. It's a Jabba the Hutt.
Very thick Jabba the Hutt.
Thick, with a... two C's, anyways. Okay.
Nodosaurs are the ankylosaurs that don't have the club on their
yes,
tail.
Yes, exactly. And they're also herbivores, obviously, so diet herbivore. Although, so like I said last episode, I was watching like Ice Age, Dawn of the Dinosaurs, and it's on Disney Plus, and there is an ankylosaurus that does chase after them, and I thought, oh, maybe it's just being territorial. No, it has sharp teeth. And like, it tries to chomp at them when they start sliding down the brachiosaurus thing. So that is a carnivorous ankylosaur.
You're now living millions of years underground. Maybe it evolved that
way. I feel like if it was going to be a carnivore, what's more, a predator, It doesn't need armor. That would be a hindrance.
It would be. That would slow it down.
So,
unless it's an ambush predator.
Maybe he was just... Maybe the sharp teeth were just a coincidence, and he was just being super aggressive.
Maybe he was just really grumpy.
Yeah. He's like, get away. I don't like you mammals intruding on my... like, coming in, stealing our jobs, living off the government.
So, oh my word.
Anyways. So location, oh, no, time. Lake Jurassic, 154 to 150 million years ago. It was location all throughout Western United States. Was described in 1998. Pop culture appearances. I used one in my final Megazoic book in Era's End.
Yay.
Yeah, he was a Scottish folk for some reason.
Why not?
Yeah, check it out. It's okay, I guess. So,
I believe the only one that's on display in the world
is in the Denver Museum of Nature and Science. Uh-huh. Yes. Also, wasn't there a Disney cartoon about this species back in the 90s?
If there was, I didn't see it.
I'm making a joke about the show Gargoyles.
Oh. I dropped that one.
It just flew right over your head.
Like a gargoyle.
It's all those gifts, the joke, you.
Yeah, that was a cool show. I remember it vaguely was. Remember that.
You know, there was supposed to be a crossover with that and the Atlantis TV show that was supposed to be based off of Atlantis Lost Empire.
Of all the crossovers, that's an interesting combination.
Also, Kevin Feige has said, he said this a long time ago, so I don't think anything's going to come to it, but he said, someone asked him if you could adapt any other Disney properties. He said, if I could, the one I would do in live action by far would be Gargoyles.
That would be epic.
So, yeah.
Sweet.
Incorporate Gargoyles into the MCU.
Well.
Anyways.
Gargoylosaurus. Thank you.
Yes.
Say that one five times fast.
Yes. It's one of the earliest known ankylosaurs, which we have nearly complete remains.
That's interesting. I didn't realize it was from the Jurassic period.
Yeah. Well, it was in my Megazoic book back in the elder kind days, remember?
Oh, that, yes.
Yeah.
That makes more sense.
It was in the older civilization, yep.
It's very easy to get your notosaurs mixed up.
It's true. Well, when you think of ankylosaurs, you don't often think of Jurassic. Oh, that's a Cretaceous thing.
Exactly.
Like, but no, they went far back. You go back even further, you got like the ancestors of them, like Scutellosaurus. You know, Scutellosaurus. It's so far back in the lineage of like the armored things, because like stegosaurs are closely related to ankylosaurs too. They're in the same sort of branching family,
right?
And this is like an ancestor of both of them, and it looks like a Hypsilophodon kind of, but it has like knobs down its tail and back. So, So yeah,
it was just the oddball of the family.
Well, this was early on. This was early Jurassic, maybe even like into late Triassic. I don't know. So Scutellosaurus. Look it up. I'll do an episode on it.
Scutellosaurus. I'll look that one up.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, going back all the way to the middle Jurassic and lasting all the way to the end of the Cretaceous, that's a pretty successful lineage of dinosaurs.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Lasting over 100 million years and making it all the way to the big meteor that ended it all. Pretty cool. Pretty cool indeed.
If you can make it that long, that's the top 10 for sure.
And again, like, who knows? They could have made it even longer if that meteor hadn't. Now, who knows how long they would have lasted?
That's true. A lot of, there is, I mean, it's speculation, but there is evidence that a lot of dinosaur species were actually increasing or at least stable before.
It's true. Like, at the end, there was the biggest Tyrannosaur in T-Rex. There was the biggest Ceratopsian in Triceratops. There was the biggest Ankylosaur in Ankylosaurus. Alamosaurus was not the biggest long neck, but it was pretty big, and it was at the end too.
Yeah, so you know,
yeah,
they were hanging in there, and then it was that stupid meteorite.
Yep, that darn meteorite.
Then again, without the meteorite, we wouldn't be here. So maybe I shouldn't be dissing.
when we went to the Denver Museum recently, I wanted to see in the geology exhibit if there was like any iridium, so I can look at it and be like, it was you. You did it.
It's all Goron. No.
Yes. Hopefully you guys get that joke. If not, buy my book at Amazon.com. All right, so Gargoylosaurus is specifically, as you said, within the Nodosaurid family of ankylosaurs, which are the ones without club tails, like Nodosaurus and Polacanthus.
Mm-hmm.
I did an episode in another Nodosaurid called Sauropelta recently.
Yes, Sauropelta. Yeah,
yes, that one's good. It's got huge shoulder spikes, like a overarching supervillain, you know?
I remember when I was working at Dinosaur Ridge, I went back when they had those big animatronic dinosaurs at the zoo.
Oh, yes. I love those. My book, Megazoic, was sold there in the gift shop during that time.
Right.
Yeah.
So they sent me there for an outreach, and they were like, hey, you just need a couple of things. Well, they paired me with this guy. He was like a museum curator in Florida. I don't know what he was doing in Colorado, but he had like all – I had a few casts. He had – real fossils, including a chunk of an unnamed nodosaur. Okay. As yet, unnamed nodosaur.
Oh, wow.
It was like, holy cow.
That's so cool. You had me worried there for a second. Like, I teamed up with a guy from Florida. I'm like, oh, no. What if he's like, oh, this here thing Bob missed the arc.
No, it was the other side. The other... other direction.
This doo-wah-hickey.
I have encountered people who spoke in certain... unscientific terms like that, but that's for another tale. Like,
this is a real God-fearing beast, as all you should be.
Oh my goodness.
I shouldn't. Not all Florida's like that.
No.
It's just the classic Florida man meme, you know? Like, Florida man does really weird things. It's like...
redneck? Like the whole redneck?
Well, specifically, like, if you see any news stories about, like, someone doing something absolutely crazy, like...
It's usually a guy in Florida.
It's like running out naked while holding out a bunch of cats or something. Like, something like that. It's always story opens with Florida, man.
What is it about Florida?
It's all that sun.
Maybe.
It's too much sun and too much hurricanes. Speaking of global warming, fix that, guys. Otherwise, Florida will be gone and no one will mourn it. Anyways, that's not true.
Oh, my goodness.
Most of Florida is like 2 feet above sea level. It's going to be going soon if. Anyways, Scarcoleosaurus.
Goodness gracious. So, I just like the design of this creature.
It's cool.
It has those spikes on its side, but
yes.
They're not like really big. They're almost kind of, I don't know, they're symmetrical.
Yeah, I love those spikes on the side. Often, like in movies, Ankylosaurus is often depicted with those spikes, like in Jurassic World, but in actuality, it did not have those.
Mm.
No, it just had the knobs on the back.
Okay.
That's a Nodosaurid thing, so. Again, you know, it's a movie, and also Engine said, you know, they're not real, so they want to make them look cooler for their...
Of course.
Yeah, so...
Bigger, scarier, more teeth.
Yes.
Or more spikes, in this case.
they're side teeth, like a shark. Like how a shark's scales are teeth, you know?
What?
You did not know this?
Shark?
You ever pet a shark before and wondered why it's so rough?
Because it's...
It's little teeth.
Huh.
Look at it under a microscope.
It looks like a tooth. Okay.
They are literally teeth.
Huh.
I don't know if they're literally like teeth. Like,
I don't think that they're actual teeth,
but they might be
they have teeth
like
design or something.
And they're also bone like teeth, kind of. So
I don't know. They're just
I don't know.
They're just very old, ancient creatures where they're nothing but cartilage and bone.
Yes, sharks are weird, man. They're so weird, but they're so cool.
I love sharks.
Sharks are cool. Protect the sharks.
They're endangered. We need to save them. But
I love that meme. I've seen this meme recently on Facebook where it's like you see a diver and then with a great white shark and the text says, here we see the world's most dangerous predator. It's killed millions of every year and then there's a nice shark swimming right next to it.
Exactly. No, that's really how it is.
Gargoylosaurus would definitely needed this armor and spikes as it lived in the same time and place as some mighty predators like Allosaurus, Torvosaurus, and your favorite, Saurophaganax.
Ah, yes. That is my favorite.
Yes. I think Gargoylosaurus would have been okay, though. I mean, every day when the sun comes up, it turns to stone, right? And stone is notorious for being difficult to eat. That's a handy defense mechanism, I say.
Hashtag science. No.
Yes. This is here for learning on this show. Gargoylosaurus turned to stone, okay?
But, you know...
Hung out with hunchbacks of Notre Dame.
I bet that these guys... How do I want to say it? My brain just glitched. Excuse me.
That's okay. I will edit all this out. And
no one
will know.
I bet that these creatures excelled at surviving, though. Because if you're a big predator... Are you going to try to fight with something that has a very thick armor? Are you going to go after something that's easier to bite?
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, though, it is slower, though.
Well, that's the downside.
So it might be easier to... if you can tip it over. I don't think these have belly armor. Like, most ankylosaurs do not have belly armor.
Mm.
So I'd say, well, actually, I'd wager all of them, though.
So potentially. You,
but I guess that's probably why it has those spikes, to keep a predator from just, like, tipping it over.
So it would, like, give you a side jab.
Yeah, so... I don't know. If I feel like if I'm really hungry, I'd find a way.
Life does find a way.
Like, as much as Dryosaurus or the other, like, little herbivores that would have been much easier to kill were a thing, though, they were also really fast.
That's true. You have to really sneak up on them to catch
them.
Yeah,
like, so, yeah. It's tough being a predator. Like, being prey is easy, man. Being a predator is difficult. Like, you might think, oh, if you're prey, you have to run from the predator. The predators fail so often.
That's true.
Like
eagles, they fail, like, one out of every... They're only successful one out of every 10 hunts.
I think it's actually how most predators are.
Most predators in general.
Hunts.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's stressful.
Yeah.
You know, you need to catch something to eat.
Yeah. Now, I'm hungry. I'm just like, okay, post my phone, Uber Eats. All right, it'll be here in 30 minutes.
Well, that's why wolves and lions,
yes,
you know, they team up. So
yes.
I guess that brings their average down if they're...
Yeah, I'd say so. But then they have to feed more. Mouths, though. So
true. One zebra will go fairly quickly.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know.
And then plus you gotta eat it quick, too, so you get to it before the buzzards do. And the hyenas.
The hyenas would be troublesome. I wouldn't worry. If I were a lion, I wouldn't worry about the buzzards.
Yeah, I'd just worry about they dirty it up with their gross buzzard feet and beaks.
I think they
like, hey, go, shoo.
Get out of here. Shoo.
Get away from my food. Yeah. Oh, man. Okay. So that's Gargoylosaurus, though. It's a cool Jurassic Nodosaurid. Yeah, it is weird to think, look at this thing and think, that's Jurassic. Yeah, that's just... It looks Cretaceous, man.
It does look Cretaceous.
Like, it's like there's some dinosaurs that I think of, I only think of certain eras. I remember we used to think that Stegosaurs lasted until the end, but then we're like, actually, no, the one that we thought was a Stegosaurus in the Cretaceous, in the late Cretaceous, Dravidosaurus, has now been... considered to actually, it was misidentified as a plesiosaur. I don't know how they made that mistake.
Oh, no. Yeah.
So I think Stegosaurs made it to, like, the early Cretaceous at the latest.
At the very latest, okay.
Yeah, so, which makes sense, because, like, Ankylosaurs are related to them, and they're kind of like Stegosaurs, but better. Like, they have more defenses.
Stegosaurus 2.0.
Yeah, exactly. So... but yeah, so let's rate Gargoylosaurus 1 out of 65 million, though, shall we?
I'm going to give it... I'll give it a 50 mil.
50 mil? Yeah. I'm going to give it like a 35 mil. Like, it gets most of the novelty of being a Jurassic Ankylosaur.
That's fair.
Yeah. And it's the earliest one that we have, you know, a complete skeleton of, or mostly complete skeleton of.
Maybe I'll do a 45.
Yeah. I don't want to influence your rate too much. Don't give into peer pressure. If you think it's cool, then it's cool.
Fine. 50.
Yeah,
50.
Yeah. Well, no, what are you doing? Don't be a kiss ass now. Okay. All right, so that's it for this week. If you want to get a hold of the show, you can contact us at mattd@methodoncreator.com for any general questions to either co-host. I have a book series on Amazon, Megazoic, available for print and Kindle. There is a Gargoylosaurus in there, Scottish guy with graviton manipulators.
He's pretty cool.
Yeah. He likes saying all these Scottish euphemisms, like, we'll knock you right in the bahoochie. A wee bit of a scunner, that one. All right. What about you? What do you got?
Well, I have some publishing credits. You can look up my full list of publications at stephenccurrow.com. That's Stephen spelled with a P-H, not
yes,
a V.
Yes, yes, yes.
And... I'm excited. It'll be out by the time this is already out.
Yes.
In June, my novelette, The Spark, will be published with Heareth Publishing.
Yes.
And it's a sci-fi dystopia story, and it's super awesome. And
it
you should
is
go check
super
it out.
Awesome. He's not just saying that because he's full of himself. It is literally super awesome.
Well, I appreciate that.
Yeah, of course. I think it's pretty awesome anyway. So, yes. Also, I forgot, you can follow me on social media at Matthew Don Creator on Facebook, at Matthew Don 64 on Twitter, and Matthew Don 64 on Instagram. I also have another podcast called The Ritwit, where two twits talk about writing or writing or whatever. It's a writing podcast. I didn't have you on there sometime. You're a writer.
I'd like to jump on sometime.
Yeah.
Lots of fun. The openers are always really interesting, fun banter. So,
oh, thanks.
You know.
Yeah. Some pretty dumb stuff that we do there, though.
Yeah, the dumb stuff is fun, though.
Yeah. I'll show you some more once we're done, I guess. All right. Well, that's it for this week. As we say at the end of every episode of Paleo Bites, let's see. What is this thing?
This thing? I don't know. Something like
what's
that.
What's the Gargoyles theme song? I don't know.
I don't even remember.
I was about to say DuckTales. Woo-hoo. But that's different. That's very different. DuckTales.
Darkwing Duck.
Darkwing Duck. That's not how it goes.